Happy spring from NPR Music. You're connected to our special Spring Look Ahead, the show where we preview releases coming out in the next few months, including music by My Morning Jacket, Cloud Cult, Wolf Parade, Shearwater, and what you hear in the background, new music from Death Cab for Cutie. Joining me to talk about that album and new releases, big and small, is Mark Wheat. He's a host at The Current, which makes some great radio in the Twin Cities. Welcome, Mark.
Thanks for having me, Bob, and happy spring to you. It's good to be here.
And has the spring come yet to Minnesota?
Actually, just, yes. All the snow melted last weekend, and we've got some bright days and some rain cleaning up the streets a little bit. So, yeah, spring is on its way.
And Stephen Thompson's here. He's in Washington with me. Stephen's a curator for NPR Music's Song of the Day. Welcome, Stephen.
Thank you, Bob. It's great to be here. And I have to say to Mark, it's just so refreshing as a transplanted Midwesterner to hear a Minnesota accent.
I've been working on it for a long time, Stephen, and that's high praise that I seem to have twisted it around so you recognize it.
Also joining us is Cheryl Waters, a midday host for KEXP in Seattle. Greetings, Cheryl.
Hi.
So have any of you heard the Death Cab for Cutie, at least a song or something from it? Stephen Thompson,
I've heard the whole thing. I heard it just this afternoon, and I'm sort of still letting it soak in a little bit. It's not quite as grabby, you know, as some of the best-known records, but it's still sinking in.
And Mark?
Yeah, we're playing the single that they cut down from its 8.5 minutes,
I'm
told, Stephen. Is that true?
That
is that
true.
Possible?
And
Death Cab for Cutie?
That is a song that does not need to be 8.5 minutes long.
Oh,
I don't know if I agree with that. At KEXP, we're playing all 8.5 minutes, and I'm reveling in it. I love it.
And later on, we're going to play a cut from the My Morning Jacket record, which is an 8-minute. It doesn't quite come in at 8:23. I think it comes in something like 8:12. And I think I can say this with all honesty, which is I'm the only person maybe in the world who has taken those two songs and laid them on top of one another to see how they pace.
Well, eight minutes is the new 3 minutes.
Let's hear a little bit from... From Death Cab for Cutie. Do you like this, Cheryl?
I do, very much.
Yeah, I do as well. It's much more guitar-oriented, less piano-oriented. Let's listen to a song from the record. The cut that I chose is called Pity and Fear. It's from the CD. It's called Narrow Stairs, and it comes out on the 13th of May. Whoever thought you'd hear tablas on a Death Cab for Cutie song. Mark Wheat, do you have any thoughts about hearing that song?
Yeah, I think these guys, I've looked forward to this album, Narrow Stairs, for a while now because I want these guys to step up and be a pinnacle band for us indie music heads. And I think they're right perfectly placed for it with this new album. And that means stepping up to play the big gigs. These guys are booked into pretty much every major festival, both here and in Europe this summer. So they've got to fill a big stage and they've got to be epic. And this album to me is as epic as Death Cab have ever gotten. I agree, the guitar sound is bigger than they've ever been before. And they have less delicate spaces in the tunes that might lose a festival crowd.
And maybe lose some fans. I mean, there are a lot of people like the more gentle side. But I think when I heard this record, the first thing I heard is, wow, great concert material.
I think this album makes perfect sense in the evolution of this band. You know, they're from Seattle, so of course I've been listening to them since before they even had a first album out. And I think that they've grown throughout their entire career, and this is a perfect evolution for them. It's very dramatic, very expansive, and as you said, quite epic. And I think it's not a huge departure. It's definitely a smooth evolution for them, even though I would say it is a different sounding album completely.
And we'll put a full cut on our website so you can hear it. And we'll do that throughout the show. The cuts we'll play will be partial cuts so we can go through and cover a lot of material. Charlotte Waters, you want to pick me a song? Spring release coming out that you love.
I love the new Elbow album, Seldom Seen Kid, and the whole album's strong, but let's try this track, Grounds for Divorce.
Tell me just a tiny bit about Elbow for those who haven't heard their good music in the past.
It's been a while since their last album, 3 years since the last one, and I know it's been a tough couple of years for the band. They wrote this in the wake of the death of a very good friend who was a co-writer with the group, and it's much, much darker, but a really positive, life-affirming album. And I think that they've always had great musical textures and beautiful pop choruses and beautiful vocals, so I'm very excited about this new album.
Let's give a listen to, from the Seldom Seen Kid, a song called Grounds for Divorce. It comes out April the 22nd.
I've been working on a cocktail called Grounds for Divorce. Polishing a compass that I hold in my sleeve. Down comes it on sticks, but then he kicks like a horse. There's a hole in my neighborhood down which of late I cannot help but fall. There's a hole in my neighborhood down which of late I cannot help but fall.
The band Elbow from Manchester, home of the Smiths and home of the Fall and home of Joy Division and
Stone Roses, yeah. The Charlatans. This band is very proud to be from Manchester, and they have that spacious, atmospheric, epic sound.
And speaking of spacious sound, there's new music that was quite remarkable that I heard for the first time today by Portishead, a group that hasn't put out a record in
11 years. Wow. There hasn't been a studio record.
This is Stephen Thompson. You have a pick for us. Yeah,
yeah. I've got a track here from Portishead. That record comes out April 29th, first studio album in 11 years.
What have they been doing?
Beth Gibbons had a side project. I mean, there's been some stuff, but you know, it's a band that definitely has done nothing to dampen the mystery surrounding them in the last in the last 11 years. The album's called Third. It's a little bit, you know, it's one that's going to take a little bit of time to sink in. There are parts of it that are sort of spare and pretty, and then there are a few songs that you sort of expect this band to, in 11 years, to kind of get denser and weirder and more enveloping. And this record doesn't do that all the way through, but here's a track called The Rip.
Thank you.
Porter said, I really like this cut. Any reaction from Mark first?
Lyrically, I gotta say, Stephen and Bob, this one kind of disappointed me. The whole White Horses thing didn't quite pull it off for me. I'm a little heavy on Portishead, though, because they're just such legends. I kind of feel sorry for them because they've, as you said, gained this legendary status, and it's almost like, how can they pull this off? I think people want them to pull it off, and if they go out and play live and pull it off live, it might work. But I gotta say, as a longtime fan, a little disappointed with the whole thing all the way through. I like the organic touches, although this track, Stephen, is about as organic as they get with the plucked acoustic guitar in there. But I like some of the other electronic stuff that they're trying. They're not moving too far away from what we expected of them.
Let me ask you quickly, Mark. I mean, if you take somebody who's 18 years old, they were 7 when the last record came out, but we're
exactly.
calling it a legendary. So tell, in a real nutshell, what is legendary about Portishead?
They're really given credit for creating a whole style of music that was very sparse. I remember the first time I heard Portishead, we hadn't really heard anything like this before. And they spawned a whole generation, especially in the UK, especially in the South, with Massive Attack and what they did later on. That whole style of very downbeat, dour, slow, grim music was what Portishead, rightly or wrongly, they're seen as being one of the front runners in that style of music, which became really, really huge throughout the 90s.
Let's pick up on another cut. Mark Wheat, what do you have for us?
Well, as Cheryl said, she reacted to Death Cab for Cutie, has been a longtime fan, and here in Minnesota, we're very proud of a band called Cloud Cult, who have a new album that just came out the first week of April. They've been around for about, 13 years. That's hard to believe now. This is their 6th full length, and it's called Everybody Here Is a Cloud. And Craig Miniver, the lead songwriter, has a way of expressing pretty deep philosophical explanations about how he understands the world in a way that a small child could understand. And I really mean that in the best possible sense of the word. It's very simple, sparse, but very lyrically astute. And I think he's done a good job of being more compact this time. The album is shorter and more conciser than he's ever been. And he rocks out a little bit more on his guitar, which I'm really pleased to see. And they've got a lot of strings always on their albums, too. This is Everybody Here Is a Cloud from the new one, Feel Good Ghosts from Cloud Cult.
Music by Cloud Cult. I'm Bob Boylan here with Stephen Thompson, the curator for NPR Music Song of the Day. Also Mark Wheat with The Current in the Great Twin Cities. And Cheryl Waters at KEXP in Seattle. Cheryl Waters, pick us something we're looking at and listening to. Music that comes out over the next few months, the spring releases. Big ones, little ones. What do you got?
I think a lot of people are looking forward to the next Firewater release. It's called The Golden Hour. It's coming out on May 6th. And Todd A. is the front.
I'm going to plead ignorance. I don't even know the first Firewater, so pardon me.
That's interesting.
I missed this band completely.
They've been around since 1996, whoa, and there's somewhat of a super group because Tade was in the band Cop Shoot Cop, and in the first couple of albums, members of the Jesus Lizard play with them, Soul Coughing and John Spencer Blues Explosion and Elysian Fields. And he takes a little bit of a vocal piece from Tom Waits. He's got that style of, I would say, a little bit of the cabaret poetry style, but people have been waiting for a long time for this band to come out with a new album. It's been 4 years since the last one, and the frontman has took sort of a sabbatical from music, and he traveled all around the world, India, Turkey, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iran, Israel, and this band comes together on this new album with a very dynamic sound, and it blends music, well, actually musicians from India, Pakistan, and Turkey, and Israel, but also the dynamic of music from those places. And this artist, Tade, also very intelligent and articulate, and he sort of went on that trip researching a book. He thought it would be part travelogue, part confessional, black comedy, and he thought if the truth got too ugly that he'd be forced to take refuge in fiction. But his travelogue is put down on a blog that he has called Postcards from the Other Side of the World, and it's very interesting, and you can sort of follow along the new album through this great blog. And again, the album's called The Golden Hour. It's coming out on May 6th, and this song is called Some Kind of Kindness.
Beautiful.
They say that we can't beat the rap. Just a couple of rats without a hope, and both our heads inside a trap. You wash my hands, I'll scratch your back, because we're so dirty and we need to find, I said, some kind of kindness. Maybe there just ain't no use in trying. Every one of us is born alone, and someday soon we will be dying. But don't you never pay no mind, because when you lie with me, I feel that I feel some kind of kindness. You know this is no way for us, ragged and down at the hill. And deep down you know there's gotta be a better life for us than drifting like dust through an hourglass, waiting for our blood to congeal. That's why we're singing.
That's great. Thank you.
Yes.
My favorite part of these shows is getting turned on. I hope this is true for the listener, getting turned on to music that I just not had a clue about. And to call them a super group, and I just completely missed them. And now I got to go back and I have some Firewater homework to do. I was just looking
That's the great thing about music. It's always there for you to discover.
I was looking at the postcard blog that you were mentioning, and I'm just going to read one very small two sentences here. Tade took these journeys, and he's got a postcard from January 17, 2007. It says, I don't exactly know what I was expecting to happen on my first visit to an Israeli kibbutz, but I certainly didn't expect the first 10 minutes to include drinking beer with 43 Israeli soldiers in a country western theme bar watching hair metal videos from the 80s. Anyway, this blog goes on, and it's really brilliant, and I'm going to spend some time with it as well. Thank you, Cheryl.
My pleasure.
I've been listening to a band who is one of my favorite world music bands, Orchestra Baobab. You folks know that band, and they've got a new CD. This is a band that has been kicking up and down since the 70s. They must have put out 20 albums. West African band, very influenced by Cuban music. In fact, got together to sort of play this kind of Cuban African music. 20 albums under their belt, and now they've put out a new record, and it's called Made in Dakar. The song I'd love to hear and love to play for you all is a song called Cabro. It's Portuguese, C-A-B-R-A-L, but I think the A-L is pronounced like an A-W. And it's, a song for this Portuguese explorer who helped find Brazil for the rest of the world who hadn't yet known Brazil. So let's give a listen to it. Can we get another drink at the bar here? Oh man, that is, I love
sweet.
That music.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to it all day long. Stephen Thompson, went to South by Southwest and you skipped out on an REM show to go see a band called Shearwater.
Yeah, we talked about this on this very show a few weeks ago, but we didn't have this record.
That's
which
right.
Comes out June 3rd. It's called Rook. The band is Shearwater. It's one. This is probably for me. This was probably the most anticipated album of you know the season, if not the whole year. Robin Hilton, Allsong's producer, and I sneaked out of REM in order to go see them, and we basically stood in puddles of our own tears while this band played. Shearwater. It's started out as sort of an Ockerville River spinoff, but its music is very pristine and majestic and beautiful. The record's pretty slow, pretty quiet. This is kind of one of the more upbeat songs. It's kind of a wintry record, just in time for June. But this song is called Rooks.
There's a lot going on there. Who's that? Who's the singer of this band? Because I love his voice.
Jonathan Myberg is the singer. He's a bird scientist, if I'm not mistaken.
I could tell by the way.
You can tell in his voice.
Exactly. And a trumpet specialist, too. That mournful trumpet in the back tone is really sweet.
Oh, isn't that great?
Good
love
pick.
That song.
Cheryl, you're a fan of this band as well. This is the first time hearing this?
No, it's the first time hearing the new one. I'm very familiar with their previous material, and I think Jonathan is brilliant, and he's got a beautiful band together with him for his project,
oh, yeah,
Shearwater, and I'm happy to know that he actually still stays an integral member of Ockerville River because he's a great asset to that band as well. So as far as I know, he hasn't thrown Ockerville River over for Shearwater. He's able to give due diligence to both bands, and that's lucky for us.
Yeah, Mark, we're the last Shadow Puppets it's been, I don't know.
Well, I'm not going to say they're like as much of a spin-off as Shearwater from Ockerville River, but it is a side project of Alex Turner, who you might be familiar with from Arctic Monkeys. He got together with Miles Kane, who's also got a band out of Liverpool called The Rascals. They collaborated with Simeon Mobile Disco Man, James Ford, doing the producing and drumming, and then got Owen Pallett, the guy who's been responsible for the strings on Arcade Fire's last two albums, and they collaborated in the south of France. That's who the last Shadow Puppets are. This is the title track from the last Shadow Puppets album, The Age of the Understatement, comes out on May 6th.
Thank you.
I think I see the movie now.
I know. Doesn't it make you feel like that?
They're totally riding into the sunset here.
Right. I've always loved those spaghetti western soundtracks, and that had an echo of that in too, with a little bit of the rumble and roll guitar, very echoey on Alex's vocals as well. It's great. That's a great taste of the age of the understatement. I don't know if we'll ever see those guys playing live, although they do have some shows planned in October, but they're all so busy in their other projects. It will be interesting to see how far this project goes.
Cheryl Waters has a new Wolf Parade. I haven't heard that yet. Tell me about that.
Well, I'd have to say it's one of my most anticipated albums. This is a very young band, and if rumor has it correctly, they came together when Spencer Krug, one of the two main guys in the band, was offered a supporting gig opening for Arcade Fire, and he didn't even really have a band together, so he got his friend Dan Buckner together, and they wrote some songs on a drum machine before they got the drummer Arlen Thompson to come in and play with them. And there they went off, and there was all kinds of hype. They released an EP, and Isaac Brock of Modest Mouse is definitely a stylistic touchstone for this band, so it's no surprise he was drawn to them, and he ended up producing their first album. So the first album, Apologies to the Queen Mary, super highly anticipated, and I feel it lived up to the hype. And now this second album, very much anticipated as well. A lot of secrecy around this album. They don't want it leaked, and they've been making up album title names, so I don't have a real name for it. I think the one I think it is isn't true. But I love the creative
song
structures.
That's a shame. I like that.
Yeah, well, they, I forget
kissing
why.
Kissing the Beehive what I even, or something is not.
I know that's what they're calling one of the songs when they've been playing them live over the past few months, but I'm not sure that's going to end up being the name of the album. I know that they first titled it Pardon My Blues, but that's proven either to be changed or a hoax. But they're just really trying to keep things under wrap, and they want to bust this out. This might be the first time anyone is hearing something from this upcoming release from Wolf Parade. I believe the song is called Call It a Ritual, but let's not even stick to that right now. Coming out on June 17th, a new one from Wolf Parade. This is a band out of Canada. They're based in Montreal.
I like this, Cheryl. It's good.
It's great. And one of the nice things it'll be to hear on this only second album, as I mentioned, from this band is because of the way they started just right out the gates and they grew as a band. Now they're a five-piece. So this album was written as a collective group. So while definitely they have a very similar sound, which I'm very glad of, it'll sound different because they're writing now as a band and it sounds wonderful.
So you're listening to Spring Look Ahead Records for this season, 2008. I'm Bob Boylan, along with Stephen Thompson, Mark Wheat, and Cheryl Waters. We're coming to the end. We have about a pick each left here.
All right.
And Stephen Thompson, one of your favorites, I know, because he oozes from your pores. is Yves Barsley.
Yeah, he's one of my favorite songwriters working today. He was the lead singer of a band called Clem Snide.
When you say was?
Clem Snide has sort of morphed into a solo project. The new Eve Barzelay record that comes out in June called Lose Big, it sounds just like Clem Snide, and I think it was originally sort of going to be billed as a Clem Snide record, but it is now an Eve Barzelay record. Singer-songwriter, very sort of smart, wry songwriting, kind of clever but not cutesy. There's just something about his stuff, you know, it's clever, but it's also very warm, very astute, he's a very vivid songwriter, but also just also very romantic. And this, this particular song is just a mission state, just a wonderful mission statement, and a sort of a message to, those of us who sort of overly obsess about music and
well, I don't.
No, I know, but in a
there's somebody in the building, maybe I'll pick up the phone and see if I can find somebody.
But it's sort of I don't know. It's a real conversation starter. This song. This is called "The Girls Don't Care."
Extend the solo, lay the groove too deep. Try not to sing the words as if you're mumbling in your sleep. Don't say that you won't do it, 'cause it's been done before. Don't start a revolution just because you're feeling bored. The girls don't care, but you ache to be free. See, the girls just want a sweet melody.
You know, what I like about this guy is there's something about the way he sings that when I learn his songs, I love to sing along with him.
He's so easy to sing along to. I don't know. There's something kind of conversational about his voice. There's a line late in the song where it's a conversation starter. The line is, don't listen to Frank Zappa, play Coltrane, Faust, or Can. Just take that twisted heart of yours and lay it in her hands.
That's beautiful. And, you know, I love his songwriting style, too. And he's one of those guys, like you say, you can find yourself singing along. And I pretty much every time I play Clem Snide on the radio, get someone calling up going, I was just singing along to that song and I realized what he was saying. And I was like, oh my goodness, who is this? You know, he has that underlying wow factor to his lyrics, which is awesome.
He's amazing.
And he covered Christina Aguilera beautifully.
Wonderfully, yeah.
Yeah.
Mark, we take us to the Fleet Foxes.
The Fleet Foxes are from Seattle. I did this just for Cheryl. Do you know these guys, Cheryl?
I do. I know them well. And I have to say, I've seen them many times. I didn't catch them down at South by Southwest this year, but I was proud that the majority of the people I ran into, no matter where they were from, and not even knowing I knew who this band was, kept saying, have you heard of the Fleet Foxes? And they clearly were the highlight for many people, and that definitely made me proud.
That's right. I literally, this was a name that had gotten under my radar, Bob, until South by Southwest. And we were all, you know, we were down there together, and it's just like, which names bubble up? And these guys did. So when I got home, they were one of the first I tracked down.
Yep, me too.
They've got an EP out called the Sunshine EP, which we're playing a couple of songs from, which have already pulled me in. And they're, the full length is self-titled, and that comes out on June 3rd. And this is a song called White Winter Hymnal.
Thank you.
who in this building is hiding this CD for me?
Steven! I don't have it. I really like that a lot.
That is great.
I know.
Mark.
It's kind of those pristine harmonies and lazily exact guitar playing is what I came up with there. And the arrangements are just tweaked enough to keep you engaged. And I hope these guys are going to have a big breakout year, because I'm definitely in the mood for a summer of love. And these guys have that vibe, you know. A couple of the songs we're playing, Mykonos, about a Greek island, is just like liquid musical sun. It's awesome.
One of the most awesome things I saw at South by Southwest, you bring that up, was seeing the My Morning Jacket concert. Mm-hmm. Who, you know, I like this band. I've seen this band before. I've been in love with some of their songs. But at South by Southwest, their concert knocked me out. And then I got to hear the album. And the new album comes out in June, top of June. And it blew me away as well. I think when people hear this record, it's going to wind up on top 10 lists everywhere. We're going to go out on a cut from the new My Morning Jacket record, Evil Urges. Let's play a little bit of it. We'll get some reaction from the crowd here. Remember, all of these cuts will be online at npr.org/allsongs, and you can hear full versions of the songs you heard today. And let's give a listen to what is, we talked about Death Cab for Cutie having an 8-minute and 23-second song. Well, My Morning Jacket comes in at about 8:12 with this stunning song that they did live, will do live. When they come to your town, you go see them, because this is the one that's going to send the chills up and down your spine. It's a song called Touch Me, I'm Going to Scream, Part 2. Stephen Thompson, you were at the concert. You saw them perform this song, and now hearing it on the record.
Yeah, I just can't wait. You know, I've had this record for a little while, and I think I'm just waiting for the right moment to like burrow up somewhere with like the best possible headphones on and just soak it in, because you could just hear just in that little trace like how much is going on in each moment of that song.
A lot of emotion, a lot of great instrumentation. First, from Cheryl Waters, first reaction.
This band has never disappointed me live. Every time I see them, I always come away saying, that is the best show I have ever seen in my life. And even after it wears off, they count as among the best shows I've ever seen in my life. And their albums translate so well. And this sounds like no exception. I actually have yet to hear this, so I'm loving it right now.
Mark Wheat.
Yeah, I was hearing you guys rave about the show, and you were making some surprising references, some even soul singers you referenced in there too, and that it was a major shift in their sound. This one sounds like exactly these guys should sound, although that little Kraftwerk piece that happened in the middle there kind of surprised me.
Remind me a little bit of Who's Next as well. When you mentioned Kraftwerk, you were talking about the little electronic-y stuff. And there was a lot of, to me, in his voice, and I interviewed Jim James, he talked a bunch about how much, you know, the Sam Cooks of the world he's been listening to and finding inspiration in his music. He's really someone who's just hit that point of maturity where his songwriting, I think, has gotten so good, and people are going to just, hopefully, love this record as much as some of us here do.
Yeah, Mark, you talked about pinnacle acts, you know, the artists who are sort of get to be the defining artists, and I feel like this band is starting to round into that form.
Yeah.
It's what's so exciting is you have to remember how young he is, and he's done so much, and he's going to grow so much more. It's exciting.
Well, go see My Morning Jacket when they hit your town. We'll go out and listen to the rest of this cut. It's from their new CD, and the new CD is called Evil Urges. I'm Bob Boylan, along with Cheryl Waters. Thank you so much for doing this, Cheryl. Nice to have you from KEXP in Seattle.
You.
Mark Wheat from The Current. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Bob. Now I've got to go off and listen to more music that you guys have turned me on to.
It's great. I learned a whole bunch of new stuff as well. Stephen Thompson, thank you. From Song of the Day, you can hear a new song at NPR Music every day.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Bob.
For NPR Music, it's All Songs Considered.